أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Surah 74, Al-Mudathir. Title: The word Al-Mudathir features in the opening verse of the surah and serves as its title. Period of Revelation. Verses 1 to 7 of this surah were sent down in the earliest Meccan phase. Some reports on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah cited by Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, and Ahmad even suggest that these are the earliest verses of the Quran revealed to the Prophet, peace be upon him. However, the consensus view of the Muslim community is that verses 1 to 5 of Surah
Al-Alaq
are the earliest revelation of the Quran sent down to the Prophet, peace be upon him. Authentic reports state that after the revelation of this passage from Surah
Al-Alaq,
no further revelation was received until these verses from Surah Al-Mudathir were sent down to the Prophet, peace be upon him. It is related by Imam Tabari that Imam Zuhri said, "For a long time no revelation was sent down to the Prophet, peace be upon him. During this period, he was so grief-stricken that at times he would climb up to the hilltops, thinking of letting himself fall. However, on such occasions, Gabriel appeared before him, reassuring him that he was God's messenger, which put his mind at rest, and he managed to regain his composure." Speaking about this break in the revelation, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "One day, as I was walking, I suddenly heard a voice from the heavens. As I raised my head, I saw the same angel who had visited me in the cave of Hira, sitting on a chair that hung between the heavens and the earth. This terrified me, and on reaching home, I asked that I be cloaked. My family members put me on a bed and cloaked me. It was then that God revealed to me the opening verses of Surah Al-Mudathir. Thereafter, I received revelation regularly." Verses 8 to 56 of this surah were sent down on the occasion of the first Hajj season after Islam was publicly preached in Mecca. Ibn Hisham has described at length the circumstantial setting of these verses, and relevant passages from him are quoted below. Subject matter and themes. As already indicated, the following verses were first to be revealed to the Prophet, peace be upon him. "Recite in the name of your Lord, who created man from a clot of congealed blood. Recite, and your Lord is most generous, who taught by the pen, taught man what he did not know."
Al-Alaq
96:1-5. It was the first experience that the Prophet, peace be upon him, had of receiving divine revelation. It neither spelled out his mission nor his future course of action clearly. He had only been given a brief introduction and was left to his own devices for some time. This was to prepare him mentally to receive further revelations in the future and to shoulder his office of messengership. It was meant also as a respite from the tremendous burden placed on him. When revelation resumed after this break, Al-Mudathir 74:1-7 was sent down to him. For the first time, he was now commanded to arise and warn mankind against following a wrong path and to extol God's glory in the world, which at the time resounded with the glorification of false gods. In keeping with his mission, he was directed and obliged to lead an exemplary life and to guide sincerely his fellow human beings without any selfish motive. He was also exhorted to bear with all the hardships he would have to endure in carrying out this mission. When the Prophet, peace be upon him, started to preach Islam in response to the divine command and to recite the Quranic surahs revealed to him in quick succession, it caused a storm in Mecca. He was faced with opposition on a massive scale. After a few months, the Hajj season was to begin. This caused consternation among the Meccan unbelievers, for they feared that if the Prophet, peace be upon him, preached Islam among the pilgrims arriving in Mecca from all parts of Arabia, and recited to them highly effective and inimitable passages from the Quran, then his mission would spread far and wide in no time. Moreover, his audience would welcome his message as well. So the Meccan chiefs consulted together, resolving that propaganda against the Prophet, peace be upon him, would be spread among the pilgrims soon after their arrival in Mecca. Once they decided to do so, Walid ibn al-Mughira pointed out that if they leveled various charges against the Prophet, peace be upon him, they would lose their credibility. Therefore, they should agree how to discredit him. Some proposed that he be branded a soothsayer, but Walid rejected this proposal, saying that the Quran had nothing in common with the ramblings of soothsayers. Others suggested that he be dubbed a madman. Once again, Walid disagreed, asserting that a madman behaves in a quite different way. No pilgrim would buy that story, for the Quran could not be the product of a madman's mind. Others advised that he be labeled a poet. Walid stressed that being familiar with poets, he knew that the Quran did not fall into any category of poetry. Another suggestion was that he be discredited as a magician. Walid refuted this as well, affirming that the label of a magician could not apply to the Prophet, peace be upon him, as he and others were aware of the tricks and stratagems of magicians. He further remarked, "All of these charges will not be accepted by the pilgrims. By the Lord, that word is immensely captivating, with deep roots and a rewarding message." Abu Jahl then asked Walid for an alternative. He asked for some time to devise a strategy. After much reflection, he told him that the charge of being a magician was the most credible one which could be hurled against the Prophet, peace be upon him. They should alert the pilgrims that the message presented by him was causing dissension within families, as parents and their children parted company after listening to his word. Walid's plan was endorsed by everyone. As part of this organized strategy, delegations of the Quraysh called on the pilgrims and warned them against the Prophet, peace be upon him. They portrayed him as a consummate magician who caused divisions within families. However, it proved to be counterproductive, for Quraysh themselves became the means to spread the name and mission of the Prophet, peace be upon him, on a wide scale. That Walid had drawn up this strategy at Abu Jahl's behest is reported by Ikrama, as cited by Tabari in his Tafsir, volume 23, page 429. The second section of this surah criticizes the above incident, and the outline of part of the surah runs as follows. Verses 8 to 10 warn those opposing the truth that they will face horrible consequences because of their rejection. Without naming Walid ibn Mughira, verses 11 to 26 spell out the numerous divine bounties bestowed on him, despite his audacity in opposing the truth so blatantly. Attention is also drawn to the conflict in his own mind. On the one hand, he is persuaded of the truth of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the Quran, and on the other, he does not want to lose his privileged position in Meccan society. The latter consideration prevents him from embracing faith. After struggling with his own conscience, he finally resolves to discredit the Prophet, peace be upon him, by declaring him to be a magician with a view to dissuade people from accepting his message. Despite the exposure of his falsehood, he has the temerity to expect more divine blessings, because of which he has made himself fully deserving of the hellfire. Verses 27 to 48 relate the horrors of hell and specify what type of people will be consigned to it. Verses 49 to 53 diagnose the root cause of the unbelievers' malaise. As they have no fear regarding the hereafter and look upon this life as an end in itself, they avoid the Quran as frightened wild asses do in fleeing from a lion. Even if all of their conditions are met, they will still be disinclined towards faith and the hereafter. It is finally declared that God does not stand in need of anyone's faith, and therefore he will not meet anyone's preconditions. The Quran stands out as divine guidance for everyone who is free to accept it or reject it. God deserves to be feared, and it befits His glory to pardon those who are pious and fear God, even if they had previously indulged in sin.